Some of the most exciting things in life are some of the most unknown things in life. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, with the thought for today. Some of the most exciting things in life and some of the most interesting things in life are the things that are so quiet, so peaceful, so unknown to us. Now, what do you know about what's going on in your mind? What do you know that's going on in your world? What do you know that's going on in the world around you, you know, that you cannot see? What do you know about it? Do you think you know it, or do you really know it? Do you really know what's taking place in the world? Do you really know what's going on in your own backyard, in your own bedroom, in your own living room, in your own house, anywhere? You know what's going on. And the answer is, you can, but you don't. Now, how can I say you can, but you don't, and have it be valid? Well, you don't know because you are not taking charge. But you can know if you take charge. So, the children are playing, and they're quiet. And you say, uh-oh, trouble, trouble. You need to have your thought washed out with soap. You know, they say your mouth washed out with soap. You need to have your thought washed. The kids are quiet. Uh-oh, they're doing some mischief. Shut up. What cause are you putting in motion for your kids? That they're doing mischief? What a silly, silly person you are to think that your kids could do mischief. Now, just because you hear there's a war, you think, oh my goodness, there's a war. People are getting killed. Terrible things are happening. Why? Don't put that cause in motion. Say, there is a war of thought. People are discussing the pros and cons of an ideal. Now, is there ever an ideal war? Is there never an ideal peace? Sure. What's an ideal war? An ideal war is when you determine that every thought you're going to think is going to be beautiful and uplifting. Now, that's an ideal war. Now, why do I say war? Well, if you're fighting the negative thoughts, remembering to say the positive thoughts, you're having a war. And it's just as terrible a war as if you're shooting and killing people, you know, because you're coming to terms with yourself. So, you say to yourself, I am in charge. Can you say that? Mm-hmm. I am in charge. Okay, now, if you are in charge, then who is there to fight? Now, again, go back to the children. They come in the house, stomping their feet and angry and upset about something or other. And you look at the children and you say, well, my little angels, did you have fun playing outside? And they're stomping their feet and acting angry and so on. You look like you're so full of energy and so full of happiness. It's just a joy to look at you. Mother, don't you know that we're unhappy? You see, and no, you don't know, and you don't even respond to that. You say, we all show our energy in many different ways. And you're showing an energy right now that is so enthusiastic and so powerful and so wonderful. You must have had a wonderful time out there. You must have really had everything going just the way you wanted it to go, because that's the way you thought. You're fantastic! So here's the mother, being the ambassador of peace, being the person who is in charge of all circumstances, saying what she believes about herself and her family to her children, and not for one second. Well, finally, the children say, well, Mom, this happened. So, what did you do about it? Well, but Mom, this happened. Well, what did you do about it? But Mom, this happened. Oh, what did you do about it? Well, we got mad and we stamped our feet and went home. Well, Maybe that was the best thing to do, huh? To leave it behind. Now, what did you do about him? Well, we stomped our feet and we left it behind. No, you didn't. You brought it home. You brought it home in your heart. Now, you brought the war home. Now, do you want war in this house? No! Then, leave the war outside. Leave the war of unhappiness wherever you had it. And just let it be. If anybody wants to be unhappy, let them be. But you have always got a smile on your face. Do you like to pet your dog when he's growling at you? No! You like to pet your dog when he's smiling at you? Yes! And how do you know he's smiling at you?
When he's wagging his tail back and forth and his whole rear end goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and it just goes so fast.
Yes, that's right. Now, how about you? How do you show your happiness? How do you show your in-chargeness of any situation? You wag your tail? No. You smile. Somebody comes up to you and says, "You're terrible." And you smile at them and say, "Thank you for talking to me. You're a nice person. I enjoy you. You're terrible. But, you know, you always say the nicest things about me. You always tell me how wonderful I am. And you always tell me ways that I can improve and stuff like that. You're just so wonderful. I thank you, thank you, thank you." And they say, "You're incorrigible. You are..." And pretty soon they give up on you. And then they start telling you the truth about yourself. "You are always such a loving person. You're always smiling. You're so nice, you know." And a second ago, they wouldn't have said that. But because you held your ground as to who you really are, then that's what happens. Now, our thoughts are the teachers of our experience. And every thought we think teaches our experience what it is we want to experience. And it teaches us that we want to experience happiness and joy and peace and harmony, or war, or illness, or unhappiness. See, those are all okay. They're all okay, because you have a right to be unhappy if you want to be. You have a right to be poor if you want to be. You have a right to be healthy or wealthy or whatever. It's all up to you. But the thing is, what do you want to be? Well, now, anyone who tells you they want to be poor, you say, "My goodness sakes, what's your problem?" Well, my father is a multi-billionaire. My mother is a multi-millionaire. My whole family is rich as sin, and I'm sick and tired of it. I want to be poor. I want to be a poor boy. Well, then, go and be a poor boy. But, you see, you can't be a poor boy, because the richness belongs to you. The richness is part of who you are. Now, like I told about the J. Paul Getty grandson, he one day wanted to go off and not be associated to the Gettys and not be rich and not have all the money in the world. And so he took a hitchhiking tour around the world. And as he took the hitchhiking tour around the world, he made sure he had his credit cards in his pocket. So if he ever really struggled any place or had difficulty any place, he would just bring out the credit card. But he didn't have to do that. Why didn't he have to do that?
His name.
What could he do? What could he have done?
He could have used his name.
Oh, he could have used his name and just said, "I am the grandson of J. Paul Getty." "Oh, what do you want? The house is yours, you know. There's no charge for anything, you know." You know. Now, why would they say there's no charge? Don't you think that it's a good advertising bit to say, "The grandson of J. Paul Getty stayed here," mm-hmm. you know? Yeah, and I mean, just even the grandson of J. Paul Getty, it's kind of nice, you know. George Washington slept here, you know, and the East Coast of the United States, a lot of houses. George Washington slept in a lot of places. They had him everywhere, you know. But and who's to say he didn't? And who's to say he did? Because everything wasn't kept in a journal, you know, like uptight. And what did George Washington do after he was not in office or when other things were happening, you know?